VOA Sunnyside of Sports. I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington. I'm stepping in for the mighty Sonny Young. You know, so much ground to cover on today's show. The Olympics may be over, but so much is happening in the world of sports. And we start off with some sad news in the world of soccer. Former West Germany striker Gerd Müller, one of soccer's greatest scorers of all time, who was nicknamed Bomba de Nation. He died at the age of 75. That news was broken by his former club, Bayern Munich, on Sunday. And in boxing news, Nico Ali Walsh, the grandson of former heavyweight champion and boxing legend Muhammad Ali, defeated Jordan Weeks by technical knockout in his professional boxing debut on Saturday. And in tennis news, Naomi Osaka has pledged to donate her earnings from next week's Western and Southern Open to support earthquake relief efforts in Haiti, the Caribbean nation her father hails from. The deadly earthquake killed over 1,200 people with thousands more injured. Our prayers go out to the people of Haiti. And Paris Saint-Germain presented Lionel Messi to fans inside the Parc des Princes Stadium before they faced off with Strasbourg on Saturday. There was so much excitement and anticipation, but Messi did not play. Well, PSG went on to win 4-2. And in more soccer news, Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta says he was unhappy with the Gunners' loss to Brentford on opening day of the Premier League. Arsenal lost to Brentford 2-0. But Arteta is not the only one disappointed in the Gunners' loss. Thousands of fans from around the world expressed their disappointment, sounding off on social media and other platforms, calling for changes in management and more investment from the owner of the team. Now, one of the most high-profile supporters of Arsenal is Rwanda's president, Paul Kagame. And in a now viral set of tweets, President Kagame said that the Gunners, quote, must not excuse or accept mediocrity. See, Rwanda is actually one of Arsenal's major sponsors, and the country is home to thousands of Arsenal fans. Eugene Wimana is in Rwanda's capital, Kigali, where he spoke to some of those Arsenal fans whose hopes of a better showing this season were dashed by the loss to this much less known team.
For Jean de Bagisha, Arsenal fan and sports journalist, the disappointment is heavy.
Unlike any supporter of Arsenal, I'm disappointed by how they've been performing of late. This is not the Arsenal that we've been growing, loving. It's totally different to what it is. No ambition, no winning spirit, no entertainment. If you assess the project of Arsenal, you can't figure out what it is all about.
This is Eleonse Mavonyi.
I think Arsenal needs some fundamental changes from the very top managers, because football, like any other business, is very dynamic. After Wenger, we have lost ourselves, and we are completely out of European competitions, and now we are losing to anyone. So I think the whole management area needs to go back on drawing board, turn things around for better, or resign.
For many football experts and others who followed closely Arsenal's legacy, say the team now lacks its core values. Eddie Sabiti is a Rwandan sport analyst.
Very recently, I've got the chance to have an exclusive interview with the former Arsenal manager, Arsene Wenger. He insisted on the fact that a club is built on values. And among, those values, the club have to have class in the top management, the sideline management, the recruitment, on and off the pitch. But all of that have to come with the result, which have built the huge reputation of Arsenal Football Club over the years.
The success of Arsenal for Rwanda means something else. Since 2018, the Rwandan government is in a sponsorship deal to advertise Rwandan tourism. Arsenal players display a campaign called Visit Rwanda on their shirt sleeves. Some Rwandans say if the team continues not to get a breakthrough, Rwanda should look for another deal.
Can successful brands be associated to a losing team? I doubt.
For the sunny side of sport, this is Eugene Uwimana in Kigali, Rwanda.
Voice of America! And joining me via phone to discuss the Arsenal loss is Ugandan sports reporter and commentator Jonah Byakutaga.
Jonah, thank you very much for joining us today on Sunny Side of Sports. Talk to us about how significant this loss was.
Well, for starters, this is a newly promoted side. So what happens is you've got the Premier League at the very top, and then you've got the Championship, what they call the Championship. It's the first division. It's a division right below the Premier League. So the bottom three teams every season get relegated to the Championship, and then the top three teams or the top two teams in the Championship get promoted up to the Premier League. Then the third team is determined by a playoff between the third to the sixth placed teams in the Championship. So in essence, three teams drop from the Premier League every season and three come up from the Championship. So Brentford were one of the three that have come up this season alongside Watford and Norwich City. Now, Watford and Norwich City as well were in the Premier League the previous year. They got relegated. So last season they played in the Championship, but luckily for them, it was only one season. They got straight back up. So the big thing was this was a team that's just been promoted from the lower division and they've come up and then they've beaten a giant. So I think that was the biggest story. But also the last time Brentford beat Arsenal, it's over 70 years since Brentford have beaten Arsenal. So that was another storyline in itself. So I think that's majorly why it made the news. And I understand you talked about the poll, His Excellency Paul Kagame's tweet, of course, for those, the Rwanda president, the Rwanda government signed a £30 million deal with Arsenal to be a sponsor. So they get that logo printed on the shirt, on the Arsenal shirt, and then in exchange they also get into some kind of tourism arrangement with Arsenal, where the Arsenal players get during the year they get to visit Rwanda and promote Rwanda. Yeah, so maybe just to get into a little bit of the Paul Kagame tweet, if you don't mind, I could read it very fast. Say he said, "We just must not," and he put "not" in upper caps, and he says, "We must not excuse or accept mediocrity. A team has to be built with purpose to win, win, win. So that when we lose, it was not to be expected. I'm sure we all know on whose shoulders the heaviest burden rests. I hope they know too, or even accept it." The end.
And is that management is talking about? He's talking about the management of the team?
He's talking about the ownership of the team. The actual owners.
How much leverage does a sponsor have in putting pressure on the owners or the management to make any type of changes?
So here's the thing. Arsenal is owned by a billionaire called Stan Kroenke. Yeah, the Kroenke family in the US. You obviously know who that is.
Right.
So this guy is worth so much. So the thing with, if you want to be competitive, you've got to invest into buying new players. And the Rwanda president mentions that in his second tweet, saying we need to go out and buy the right players who can execute the plan. You look at a team like Manchester City, they're owned by we want to call it oil money, but just like PSG, owned by the rich Qatari guys. And they've gone out and spent, Manchester City for one, have spent £100 million on one single player, Jack Grealish. He's not even the greatest footballer. He's not even the best English talent, but they've gone out and spent £100 million to get him, to make a team that just won the Premier League convincingly, beating up on everybody. They've added £100 million player. And you're looking at Arsenal, who finished eighth, their worst position in recent times. They also finished eighth the season before, so it's become a constant for them. But since Wenger left, it's gotten worse. So you're looking at a team that's finishing eighth and not investing as much. Well, a team that wins the league goes out and forks out £100 million. I understand the Man City owners may be richer than Stan Kroenke, but Stan Kroenke has got enough money in the bank to still get in there. So Paul Kagame, His Excellency Kagame's tweet is directed majorly to the owners. His message is to the owners, and he feels he's a key stakeholder, because they're paying quite a big sum of money as a sponsor. So he's a guy that's got the right to say what he said. As a sponsor, he wants to see a return on investment for the money they've put in as a country. They want to see the team perform. And on top of that, he's an Arsenal fan, just like I am. So I think his tweets summed up most Arsenal fans' feelings right now.
Is it possible that Brentford was hangrier, I guess, for this victory than Arsenal?
Yeah, definitely. And that was the danger. See, if Arsenal started the season playing a team like Aston Villa, for example, because Aston Villa are not new in the Premier League. They were there last season. They finished, I think, about 10th, 11th in the league. I don't know, I can't remember the league table off the top of my head right now, but they were about 10th, 11th, and with Arsenal 8th. If Arsenal kick off the season with a club like Aston Villa or a club like Brighton that's not so strong, maybe weaker than Arsenal, maybe Arsenal get a result. But when you get a team that's newly promoted, playing their for the first time in the Premier League for several years, and then they're playing at home.
What was the energy like in the stadium now that the fans are back in the stands? Are players, you know, playing differently? What is your sense? I guess, what did you see?
100%. It's a huge difference. It's a huge difference. These fans lift these players. Last season, Manchester United and Liverpool, they are two teams traditionally that are known to have very strong home records. They rarely lose when they play home games. For Man United, Old Trafford, and for Liverpool at Anfield, they rarely lose when they play at home. Last season without the fans, Liverpool is the worst place to go to. It's normally called the Kop. The Kop is that big Liverpool fan base. When you go to Liverpool, you're defeated by the fans before you even get to play the game. They're so intimidating. So it's one of the worst grounds to go to play at. But last season, Liverpool, yes, they had some other issues, injuries and whatnot, but the absence of their fans affected them so much that they lost to teams like Burnley, teams that they could never lose to on a normal day in the Premier League at Anfield. So they lost quite a number of strange games. So the fans returning makes a huge difference. The smaller sides, if Brentford was playing against Arsenal in an empty stadium, even with that disorganized Arsenal team, there's a good chance that Arsenal could have gotten away with a draw or maybe even a 1-0 win because of the quality, maybe the slight difference in quality of the players on pitch. But because the fans are in the stadium, it's their first game back in so many years, they're going to push and lift their team. So it makes a massive difference.
So the fans also played a role in this loss or in the win.
100%.
Jonah, thank you very much for taking time to speak to us. I know it's quite late in Kampala, but I appreciate you taking time to talk to us.
Not at all. Pleasure, Jackson. Always.
Jonah Byakutaga, a sports commentator and Arsenal fan. He is in Kampala, Uganda. The country just recently got out of a COVID-19 lockdown as it battled the Delta variant. So I'm sure Ugandans are excited to get to the outdoors and play some sports. And a Sunnyside salute to all Ugandan athletes who represented in the Olympics. Kenya and Uganda won a combined 6 gold medals, 4 of which went to Kenya. Ugandan athletes received a hero's welcome home when they landed in Entebbe. Some of the medal winners included Joshua Cheptegei, who won gold medal in the men's 5,000 meter final and silver in the men's 10,000 meters. It also included Peruth Chemtai, who won gold in the women's 3,000 meter final steeplechase, while Jacob Kiplimo took home bronze in the men's 10,000 final. Now, they were certainly not the only ones who received the hero's welcome back home. The Gambian team were welcomed by President Adama Barrow, who gave them some gifts, including a car. Reporter Pandering By has more.
The Gambian government has been heaping praises to the country's national team that represented the Gambia in the just concluded 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games. The athletes have been praised for their outstanding performance. Gambian female sprinter Gina Bass was the main face of the Gambian team. This was largely attributed to her performance. She captured fourth position in the fourth race, though she couldn't make it to the finals.
Well, my target was to be in the final, but I couldn't make it. So, but I really thank God for it because I have broken my record. 2016, I couldn't reach in the semifinal. So it's a great improvement for me because being in the semifinals is not an easy work to do. And we have to prepare for 2024 in Paris Olympic coming. I hope I will reach in the final. What was my expectation?
Bakary Baji is Gambia's sports minister.
We respect all of them that have gone out there, but Gina have been out there for a long time. She's been to the All Africa Games and won bronze, silver, and gold. Then she went back to the Olympics and went to a level that probably only one athlete in Gambia's history has ever reached there.
Sports fans have been praising Gina Bass and her colleagues for putting the Gambia's name on the world map. President Adama Barrow received the Gambian Olympic team at the State House.
We are proud of you. Flew the Gambian flag high, and you have made name for the Gambia. There is no doubt you are all stars. Because now, before you get to the Olympics, you have to pass through primaries. That means you have to qualify to get to the Olympics.
Gina Bass, who was often referred to as Poor Gina during the Olympic Games, walked out of the State House with a brand new car. Sports Minister Baji reaffirmed the government's commitment towards sports development.
Yes, government have priorities, and it will always have priorities. Competing priorities, we call it. But I want also that the people here to know that the president considers youth and sports as one of the priorities for the country, because without the young people, we don't have a better future.
Also speaking at the State House meeting was Alagi Dudu Kapijuf, the president of Gambia's National Olympic Committee.
I can recall when the national flag was handed over to the team before the trip. They promised to represent the Gambia with honor and dignity, raising our flag at the highest level possible. The team had done just that, making the Gambia well known as a very strong force to contend with. Today, every Gambian celebrates the achievement of the Gambian team.
This is Pandering by reporting from Raleigh, North Carolina.
This is the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Jackson Vunganya. I'm sitting in for Sunny Young. Let's go to Nigeria, where female taekwondo athlete Elizabeth Nyanacho is now ranked 28th in the world after her participation in the Tokyo Olympic Games. The ranking is a critical qualifying point for the Paris Olympic Games. And Mighty Mike Mbonye brings us the story.
Nigeria's female taekwondo athlete Elizabeth Nyanacho's chances of participating in the Paris Olympic Games appears to be brighter. Nyanacho, 22, lost in the round of 16 to former world champion Noor Tata of Turkey at the Tokyo Olympic Games. In the latest ranking released by World Taekwondo, Nyanacho is now ranked 28th in the world, while her Olympic ranking improved to 42 from 65th position prior to the Olympic Games. The improved ranking will brighten Nyanacho's target of qualifying automatically for the Paris 2024 Olympic Games, because qualification rules allocate automatic qualification slots to the top six Olympic-ranked athletes in the months leading up to the Games. Nyanacho says she will work hard to earn enough points to be in the top six in the world.
The important part of the ranking is to be top six in the world and Olympic ranking, because that will enable me to qualify automatically. And right now, I'm weighing 26 in the world and 42 in the Olympic ranking. There's two ranking system, so we have the world and the Olympic ranking. So I have to be in among the top 30 in the Olympic ranking this year. That was the target this year. So the ranking system is very important, because if I should get a lot of competitions this year, I'll be able to hit that target of being in the top 30. And it's going to enhance my performance within 3 years to be able to help me get enough ranking points to be in top six. And that will help me to qualify automatically for Paris 2024.
Nyanacho says though she lost at the Tokyo Olympic Games, the lessons learned will help her in the future.
Tokyo was very hard for me. I wanted to spring a surprise, even though I had a lot of encouragement telling me Paris 2024. But I really felt I had the skills and talent to spring a surprise at this Olympic. But my opponent also was very experienced, and she's good. And I now understand the trainings and lessons I'm being taught during my training sections, that it's not only the skills that can take you there. You also need the emotional experience, how to handle the tensions, how to handle the anxiety. And now this Olympic has helped me to understand that better. And I'm sure the lessons and training will come in handy.
Chika Chukwumerije, the technical director of Taekwondo Federation of Nigeria, says Nyanacho will take part in some tournaments this year to get to top 30 Olympic ranking.
So definitely, we're very happy to see this. It's a lot of hard work. Yes, if she won one or two fights or got to finals, it would have even been better, you know. But that's why we have to keep fighting to capitalize on this game.
Chukwumerike says the federation will work hard to qualify four athletes for the Paris 2024 Olympic Games. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Ayo Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
You're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. Let's go to Accra, Ghana, where Prince Nesta joins us with a report on the English Premier League results and views from the streets of Accra on what team Ghanaians think that will win the English Premier League this season. Sporty greetings to you, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Jackson. English Premier League kicked off during the weekend with a couple of notable performances, including that of Egyptian talisman Mo Salah, who scored a goal and provided two assists for Liverpool to ensure his team cruised to a 3-0 win against Norwich at Carrow Road. French star of Guinean descent Paul Pogba also became the first Manchester United player to register four assists in a Premier League game, as the Red Devils hammered Leeds United 5-1, thanks to Bruno Fernandes's opening day hat-trick. I hit the streets of Accra after the matches just to find out the locals' thoughts on some of the teams they thought stood a better chance of winning the English Premier League this season.
Manchester United. I think looking at the previous season, we had a problem with our central defence, and Manchester bringing in Rafael Varane and also we getting Jadon Sancho on the wing side, that was basically our problem that we had. So I think that this time around, we stand a chance of competing for the trophy this season. So I believe Manchester United has the upper hand in winning this season's trophy. Okay, when you look at Liverpool, for instance, Liverpool actually haven't brought in any new signings. They've just made only one signing. And the EPL is very competitive. Most of the teams or the clubs are very intense. So the more you play, the more they get to know your tactics and how you play. So it's very, very tough. You can't score a club twice in a row in the EPL because of how competitive it is. So I believe that Liverpool, to me, is out because this time around, because they haven't brought new players, it's like the usual Liverpool that we all know in their style of play. So I believe that that is one of the things that will go against them. And also looking at Chelsea, yes, Chelsea have a very good manager. He's a very good one. And looking at the way the Germans play their soccer, he's actually inculcated that into the EPL, which really helped him win the UEFA Champions League. And I believe that this time around, unless he makes some difference, bringing in Lukaku also is a plus because Lukaku has played in the EPL, but right now he's more experienced. So coming back, I think that he's going to help the club. But I don't see them winning the trophy this season.
To me, Manchester will win. That's what me I can say, because that's my team.
I think so far Chelsea has the best signing, so I think they can defend the title this year. Lukaku from Inter Milan, that guy is a good scholar, and you don't have to play very well. Manchester United, they have problem with their defense, and they need to do more signing because it will not be easy. They too they can do well, but I don't think they can win the cup. Man, you cannot win the cup. No. It's between Chelsea or Man City. Liverpool, now they are not in form like how they used to be. Now I'm not sure they can take the cup. They can play in the top four, but the league there is between Chelsea and Man City.
Me, I want my team to win, so I cannot say anything about Chelsea. Because I want my team to win, that's all.
I think Chelsea will be winning this year Premier League because of what the players, their fitness. That's why I mean that we can win the season this year.
They're supposed to get someone who can really fit in the shoes of Wenger. Since he left, they haven't gotten a good replacement for him.
News about Messi's move to PSG also continues to divide opinions among Ghanaians.
Barcelona is a team that they play together. There is an innovative teamwork between the players. So I think that is a traditional way that they play. So Messi going out will not really affect Barcelona because they have other alternatives. I see them winning the trophy this season, no doubt about that. And also, Messi moving into PSG is also a plus for them because right now they have the best forward. They have Neymar, they have Messi, they have Mbappe.
Having Messi win the necessarily means they win the Champions League. They have to work, they have to really work hard because Man City have won. Last season they were in the final, they were not able to win it. I think since those people came and buy the Man City team, they have not really gotten all they want.
Yeah, it will have a big impact because when Ronaldo left Real Madrid, this between Messi and Ronaldo. And even it's not even about the Barca alone, it's about the Spanish Liga.
There's no doubt that the 2021-2022 Premier League season will be an interesting one. If going by the team's performances during the weekend and the stadium's enduring capacity crowds for the first time since March 2020 is anything to go by. We'll be keeping you posted in every step of the way right here on The Voice of America. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor in Accra, Ghana.
And yes, the Premier League is back and hundreds of thousands of fans attended matches over the weekend for the first time since March of last year. VOA's Gwen Oten has a roundup of the winners and losers and pre-game comments from the managers of Chelsea and Liverpool, who both sealed clean sheet victories in their season opening matches. Sporty greetings to you, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Jackson. Liverpool began their Premier League season with a 3-0 victory against Norwich City with the help of Virgil van Dijk, who has returned to action after spending 9 months on the sidelines with a ruptured ACL. His absence was felt last season when the Reds failed to defend their European title and finished third in the league. But a newly signed contract extension will keep van Dijk with the club until 2025. And manager Jurgen Klopp says this year his side will have to fight for the top Premier League spot.
Yeah, last year obviously City the gap was pretty big. The year before with us, the gap was pretty big. I'm not sure if it can get even more intense for all the rest. So we will see. Yeah. We don't want to hide our expectations because our ambitions because we want to fight for everything, but whatever will happen in the season, we don't know now. But in this moment, yeah, it will be a massive fight. And so it will be an interesting league again. Very, very interesting. So let's see how it starts. And then we can talk about that. And then let's make the next step.
Also on Saturday, Chelsea clinched a 3-0 victory against Crystal Palace just days after re-signing Romelu Lukaku to a 5-year deal that reunites the Belgian star with his former club. Manager Thomas Tuchel has transformed Chelsea since he took over in the middle of last season. They finished in the top four of the Premier League. In May, they clinched their second Champions League title, and last week they lifted the UEFA Super Cup trophy, and Tuchel says this year his side is on the hunt.
We want to hunt Man City, Manchester United, and Liverpool, and not from January on, but from Saturday on. And the only thing to do it is to be in our best shape tomorrow and to do everything mentally and physically tomorrow together with our supporters back in the stadium to have the first 3 points on our side. But this is the mentality with which we approach this season. We see ourselves as hunters and as challengers for the three teams that landed in front of us.
Meanwhile, Tottenham kicked off their season with a 1-0 victory over Premier League champions Manchester City. The Hotspurs have now defeated Man City in 4 consecutive games at home. A quick roundup of other winners over the weekend. Brentford defeated Arsenal 2-0. Manchester United claimed a 5-1 victory over Leeds United. Leicester City defeated the Wolves 1-0. Watford beat Aston Villa 3-2. Everton claimed a 3-1 victory over Southampton. Brighton defeated Burnley 2-1. And West Ham came from behind to defeat Newcastle 4-2. More sporty news to come. Jackson, I'll hand it back over to you.
Thank you, Gwen. And that wraps up this August the 16th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. For more sports, remember to check us out at voanews.com. We are also on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, on Twitter, and on YouTube. I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington. Goodbye, everyone.